All right, let's begin today from, that's once again from the book of 3 John chapter 2. We read that one as we were about to close last time. The book of, that's the third letter of John, the elder. It has only one chapter, so we'll just read the second verse, all right? The first line is just addressing the letter to somebody. In verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." Like in James, they said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, that is very important. I heard somebody speak once, said this is just a greeting. No, I don't think it's just a greeting. It's a desire of the soul of somebody who understands God, who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ, and who said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So when he's saying to somebody that, "I pray that in all respects you prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers," he was expressing the will of God. He wasn't just expressing his desire alone. He's expressing the desire of somebody who knows how God reasons. I like the way Paul used to say it. He said, "I have the Spirit of God." That is what I'm saying. Even though I do not have an express commandment, I know that it is the will of God because I have the Spirit of God. You know, last time we said that the Word of God, I want to review that for some moments. The Word of God does not describe our current circumstances. What it does is to create what he expects us to have. My way I like to illustrate it is from the book of Genesis chapter 1. It said, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then the earth," he said, "was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said," now God did not say, "This thing is like this." No. What he said was what he wanted it to be. Are you getting my point? And let me say to us again, the Word of God is what we are gravitating towards. It's what is pulling us up. God says, "My ways are not your ways." That is, he wasn't saying they are not supposed to be. But that when I look at where you are right now, that is not where I want it to be. So you are supposed to come up to where my way is. I emphasized to us last time that we must be careful not to make excuses, all right? And therefore reduce the standard of God because we are unable to meet it. It is better to leave the standard up there, even if you can't meet it. A subsequent generation will come that will be able to walk into that thing. Are you getting my point? This is just by the way, it will help a lot of us to understand this. You know, I began to study the scriptures, all right, when communism was still very strong. And if you watch TV these days, you still see it. All kinds of doctrines of Antichrist is out there. And all those doctrines, I'm sorry to say, they are instigated by fear. Now, you must understand what I'm saying. The people look at things that look so great, so they have to make an excuse for his presence. They must make an excuse for his existence. So we begin to call names, all right? Like I say all the time, when I was much younger, right? Communism was the Antichrist, all right? Russia was going to do everything to the world, all right? And then one day communism crumbled and then Islam became the Antichrist. Do you follow my point? Because Boko Haram is harassing people. Suddenly we look for a description for it in the scriptures. And then we begin to say this is a sign of the times. That is because of end time, that's where problems are coming. I used to have this argument with people those days. Ordinary annulment of election in Nigeria, the crisis that followed them June 12th. And I was telling somebody that this is why we have to pray for a country. And I was talking to a sister. And by the time I finished talking, she knows there are people I don't even discuss with. When you answer me like that, I don't talk to you on scriptural matters again. I just leave you. He said, "Well, I've heard everything you have to say. But as far as I'm concerned, these are the signs of the times." And I said, So Jesus, he said, it shows that Jesus is about to come. I said, "Listen, my friend, this is your own Jesus Christ. He's only going to come back to Nigeria. He's going to go to South Korea where economy was growing and things were advancing." All right, that was when, this was many years ago, South Korea was just penetrating seriously into the world market. I said, "No, Jesus is not going to come there. He will wait, all right, and come only to Nigeria because we are the ones that have problems." I said, "Let's not deceive ourselves." He says, "Sit at my right hand until I make Islam, communism, every one of your enemies, a footstool for thy feet." Listen to me. He's not coming because you are suffering. Are you getting my point? Jesus does not is not returning to pull out a suffering church. All those doctrines of tribulation, when Antichrist wants to kill everybody, now come and rescue you, is a lie. It's not in keeping with the character of God. You must understand that. It's not in keeping with the character of God. If that's what he wanted, he would have pulled all of us out now, all right, while Levi was here. But he said, you must execute his judgment on this earth. You must understand that. Now, so people begin to fashion doctrines because of their experiences. They start telling this one is Antichrist, and Antichrist is going to kill everybody, and Antichrist is going to do this, and then they start identifying the Antichrist. In my short life, all right, when I say short life now, not even my whole existence, I mean just the period I've been studying the scriptures, all right, I have seen Antichrist change the, you know, and on international TV, it went from Russia to Iraq, then one day they hung Saddam Hussein, and that's the end, it now became Iran, and then, you know, then one day you see, it will happen before you, many have happened before your eyes, it will still happen. North Korea will crack open in a short while. All right? You suddenly realize that Russia cannot join with North Korea to invade anybody. It will, listen, hear it. North Korea will soon crack open wide. The South Korea will start bailing them out. All of them will start going to church rapidly. Then Antichrist spirit will have to find somewhere else. Do you follow my point? We invent doctrines, all right, to describe our situations. Listen, I like the way Miles Monroe said it then. He said, one thing I know is that I've read the end of the book and they are not there. Are you getting my point? That the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever and ever. Let's not bring doctrines to excuse our current day problems. I'm not saying that we will not have issues. In fact, as we are going on today, we'll read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. You will see that even though Moses was explaining the principle of abundance, that you will go into a place where you will eat without scarcity. You will go into a place where you become so wealthy that the problem you are going to have is that of remembering who gave you the wealth. He now commanded them that in the midst of your abundance, thou shalt remember that it is the Lord thy God that gives you the power to acquire and create this wealth. Now, this is what he was saying, that this is where you are going to. He said, but before you get there, you went through, or before you will get there, all right, you will go through the wilderness. Or before you arrived at this point, you saw how you suffered. He said the Lord was testing you, preparing you for the abundance that is going to come. So it shows that life can go through stages. Life can go through seasons. You will have a time that things are really tight. And I said to you, that's the principle of Christianity. You must know how to be joyful when there's little, so that God knows that your heart is safe if he blesses you with abundance. So Paul said, I have learned the secret. That's the secret of life. That is the secret of joy. That is the secret of Christianity. How to be the same in the midst of all my circumstances. I have learned how to abound. I have learned how to abase. I have learned how to have plenty. I have learned how to have little. He said, in all these things, he said, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Are you getting my point? Like I say to us all the time, that the primary job that God has in our lives is not to make us rich. Do you get my point? That's not the first thing he's doing. That's not the first thing he's doing. He's not near the first thing at all. The first thing he's doing is to create the Christ nature in his full manifestation until we all come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's what he's creating. It's not until we all become very wealthy. Do you get my point? Do you get what I'm trying to say? All right, it's until we all come to a particular spiritual state. So I said last time, listen, God desires that we should prosper. You see, that's what people, you know, I've read many things. Like I was telling a story about John G. Lake then. He said, what happens is that the church prays for the sick died. They pray for another sick, the sick died. They pray for another sick, the sick died. Finally, they created the doctrine that the age of miracles right, is past because they did not see it. And that's one thing you must never do. Whether you see it or not, don't change it. Are you getting my point? Because sometimes you discover, like he said, the vision is for an appointed time. And the doctrine of patience is that a man locates the word of God, all right, and he holds on to it until there is a manifestation of that thing which he or she believes. Are you getting my point? That is what patience means. That's what patience means. We don't create new doctrines. The word of God is set before us as a standard. It is set before us as a standard, all right? And we are the one moving towards it. It's not the word moving down, all right? So as to change his mind to accommodate us. No, that may have been done for Jews. It is not right for Christians. In Christianity, we keep the standard of God high and we walk towards it. And this is the point. As long as the standard is kept up there, and our eyes are focused on them, we'll discover that will begin to change. I said last time, and I've said it several times before, that the word actually acts on people. Are you getting my point? It acts on people. Remember the illustration I gave last time about the matter of marriage? They said you can't divorce your wife, and therefore the disciples decided that, in that case, it is better not to marry. The truth is that, you know, like Jesus said, with man, this is difficult. He said, but with God, all things are possible. That is, if you walk with God, he said, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. The grace and the truth of God, if you walk with him, will enter your soul so that you will not even desire to divorce the wife. That's what Jesus was trying to achieve. So not that he will write the law. No. So as to accommodate us. Moses did it for the Jews, but Jesus said, I'm not going to do it for my disciples. All right? What I will do is to transform you so much that 50 years after you've married, are you getting my point? You are wishing you had married 70 years earlier. Do you understand my point? Because, yes, God will so change you that it will be a beautiful thing. You will never want to depart from that woman instead of somebody giving you an excuse on why you can divorce her. So keep the standard of the word of God there. So let's settle. I'm just going to review that briefly because it's very important. So what have we been doing? The sayings of God. What are the things that God has said? What are the things he says are his will for your life? We'll hear those things, we'll put them up before our eyes, all right? And then we'll keep them in the midst of our hearts. That way it becomes life unto us because we have found them. You know what life means? Life, you know, I always like to describe life by first describing death. Death is the way everything goes wrong, all right? Against the order in which God created them. Do you follow my point? But life is when things are energized to produce fruit the way God created it to be. He said to mankind, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So life makes sure that we are fruitful. Life makes sure that, all right, we multiply. So when he said there are life to those who find them, that is everything you can ever desire in life will be produced automatically if you discover what God says about that thing. Do you get my point? Remember I said last time, therefore, the primary goal of the believer is to be transformed by this word. To focus on it so much until he or she is transformed by that word. That's what we're talking about. All right? So now let's continue from where we went into, because I began to talk about the will of God being prosperity. So we read from here. It said, I pray in that in all respects you prosper and be in good health. Now I want to explain something here again because we began it last time. That indeed, God does is not his primary or his perfect will. That's the word I was looking for. Is that his children will prosper abundantly. Let me say this. The reason why I'm saying this, why we need to emphasize it. And let's just assume that we all know it. Why belabor the point? I said before, I read somewhere, that a man said imagination is more important or is more powerful than willpower. Now, the word imagination is what we call in the scriptures hope. All right? Now, listen to this. What you have as an expectation in your heart is more important, or is more powerful than what you are striving for. You hear what I said? Life is controlled by spiritual forces. We say this all the time. And you see, spiritual forces don't just hear what you say. It's important. They hear it, all right? But actually, if you read Regina says something. That thoughts, all right, are very powerful. That is why he said it. This is way he said it. He said that in the realm of the spirit, if you're thinking, it is head. Do you get my point? That is, your thoughts are actually audible, spiritually speaking. The things you are thinking, they are audible. So, what a man is thinking in his heart is actually going out into the realm of the spirit. It's not just that which he's saying. So Solomon said that as a man thinks in his heart. Now, there are two ways by which people are. That's what Solomon was saying. There is a man, you get to his house, he said, eat, eat. But he's a stingy man, and his heart is not with you. He said, therefore, eat his food with carefulness. He said, because the real thing about him is what he's thinking, not what he's saying. That's what he meant when he said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That is, the thoughts are the things that actually describe somebody. Do you get the point? So, we can all come to church, and the pastor says, God wants everybody to prosper. And you say, amen. Is it possible for everybody to be millionaires? Meanwhile, on the Sunday, you say, amen. But in your heart, you are saying, look, God will just give us enough money to get by. Do you get my point? And on the survey, what do you say? Amen. Say after me. I am above. And you shout, I am above. I am not beneath. I am not beneath. In your mind, you say, God, just leave me somewhere in the middle. It's good enough. Are you getting my point? But outwardly, you are shouting something. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I'm going to emphasize why we need to drum this thing until you are persuaded. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the things you have learned from me and have become convinced of, those things you teach to other men. That is not just things you have heard. A lot of us as preachers, that's what we do. You get a message yesterday, you preach it today. There's a particular website, they send me emails because a friend of mine recommended I should visit the site. I visited, he put my email and every time I get it, it's called preachit.org. Alright, preach it. That's the name of the website, preach it. And these people have, as from last meal I got, they had over 10,000 sermons, which you can download and preach in your church. I actually read one sermon. They're very nice, but I didn't read it so I can come and preach it to you. I mean, I'm doing a long sermon, a long series, alright? I read them because I want to learn something. And that one I kept aside that, no, I should read this, it will bless me. But that's not the goal. The people who prepared the website, they didn't prepare it so that you'll be blessed by it as a preacher. It's sermons to preach on Sunday. It was Father's Day recently. I got a lot of mails. Have you prepared your Father's Day sermon? You can visit our site and download serious sermons on Father's Day. So you're supposed to just go there, download the sermon, and then read it, make sure it enters there. You know, you now TB Joshua the sermon. You know what that means? I gotta memorize it. I come back and start telling us, oh, do you know that fathers, hallelujah, fathers are, it's not you that wrote it, it's one pastor, Tom Andrew, in somewhere in New York, that wrote what fathers are. No, Paul wrote to Timothy, no. He said, it's the things you have learned and have become what? Convinced of. Is that conviction I'm trying to drive into our hearts? Because on the surface you say things, people can't disagree with you in church. I mean, they are too nice and decent. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. I say shout amen. You hear one loud amen. But inside the heart doesn't mean it is there. And I've discovered something, especially when something has a danger. Because actually, prosperity has a danger. I wrote an article about it. I think it's somewhere, maybe on our website. One of the sermons we have up there. The danger of prosperity. I was listening to this man speak in Unilag a few days ago. Professor Jagat, the INEC boss. And he was talking about the call for scrapping NYSC and not posting people to the north and all of that. And he made a statement that actually touched me a bit. He said, I know why this scheme was created. He said, the thing that happened in which some coppers were killed in some states, notably Bauchi State and Kaduna, he said, it's very, very bad. It's to be condemned. It's deplorable. He used all kinds of strong words to criticize and condemn those things. He said, but you don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Are you getting my point? That the scheme has done more good over the years than bad. Are you getting my point? That this is a bad spot. It's a black spot and on the sheet of this scheme. Let's not kill it because of it. Actually, the statement touched me a bit that this man is telling the truth. That let's look for how we can modify it. You can protect people, but you don't just scrap it, throw away the baby with the bathwater. What am I saying? We often do that. A lot of preachers, in fact, you know, a lot of preaching is done for money. Now, that's not criticism, that's a statement of fact. If you don't know that, either you're entirely asleep, all right? Or you just don't want to agree with the truth. Is that okay? So I'm not being critical, okay? Now, I say all the time, jokingly, okay, that most of the sin in every church is found in the prominent part of the prominent activity group. So if you go to a church, the choir people are not bad people. But usually bad people go to the choir because they are the prominent people in church. Yes. But bad when they come to church, they want to show you that they are there. So the ones they can sing, they will join so that you will know that we are the ones inside this church, you know. Anything that's hidden, you don't have too many bad people in there because self-righteousness wants to be seen. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's a matter of fact. So, in the same manner, in the preaching of the word of God, you can imagine that because money is what everybody desires. You know, these things the Gentiles seek. That's what Jesus said. So, if we want to make mistakes, that's the area where we'll make it the most. Because that's where it pays us the most. Are you getting my point? We won't make too many mistakes in self-sacrifice. You know they pay. Are you following what I'm saying? We won't make too many mistakes in praying. We won't make too many mistakes in preaching. All right? I mean, you no matter how many revival have you seen that there are many preachers preaching on prayer? There are not too many. But when the apostle of prosperity appeared, everybody began to copy because it's desirable. Are you getting my point? So a lot of errors packed in there. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, because there are a lot of errors, a lot of people just package the whole thing. So when you see a preacher wants to hear any talk on money, are you getting my point? They immediately just withdraw. You know, something happened the other day because we send information around on our mailing group, all right? So when these new band things came up, and a lot of people who support the work of the ministry financially, that's Kingdom World Ministries here, they are not in Enugu. I mean, they are in all kinds of places, a lot of different places, the length and breadth of this country especially, all right? Almost everyone is in Nigeria. Now, so we needed to circulate, okay, when they said change the change of account numbers. Okay, when our account numbers changed, we had to circulate information. Do you know, I was so reluctant. Oh, my father. So there are a number of new emails we're supposed to add. I refused to have them added until we are finished circulating our information, just simply about change of account number, not begging for money. Just simply so our beloved co-workers just be informed that these are our new account numbers, that according to CBN regulations, the banks have to give us new ones. Just to send that information out. Hey, I agonized. Because people join on a daily basis. And I was just saying, somebody would just be joining our mailing group, and then the next thing you just hear is, this is our account number. The first thing we just unsubscribe. Pam! And the day I sent it out, somebody unsubscribed. It may be wrong, it may be coincidence, but one person unsubscribed. What am I going to do? I still have to send information out. You see, I'm not a bringer of that nation. All right? I don't know whether that's... Maybe it's coincidental. Maybe the guy is a satanist. His friend dropped his email address that, please add my friend. And we always, apart from the fact that Yahoo, who use their services, we always send an unsubscribe information. I make it the rule that the first mail you get from us would say simply, if you were added without your consent, please, this is how to unsubscribe. I put the information in there. Because, you know, I'm not marketing to beg for people to listen to me. I just give you the opportunity to listen to me once or twice. Decide whether you want to listen to me subsequently. Do you get my point? And if you want to, all right, you continue. I mean, I'm teaching the word of God. So if he's blessing you, I mean, it's free. We are giving it out free. I shouldn't be begging you, all right? That's just my own principle. So the point I just want to make is that, you see, we get very, very, you know, edgy when it comes to the matter of money. And that the reason is because so much error is in there. But I'm going to emphasize something. It is not right to throw away the baby with the bath water because of it. Are you getting my point? Preachers have done things that have made the name of God, all right? They have blasphemed the name of God in the name of money. But it does not change the fact that God wants every one of his children, including those preachers, to prosper. Once I had a discussion with my chief, I think I wrote in one of our books, and they're talking about a pastor who drives a Mercedes-Benz those days. And was talking, is he right? Is he wrong? And I said, Ogami, don't you want to drive a Mercedes-Benz? He said, of course I want to. I said, so what's wrong with the pastor driving it? He said, he's working for God. I said, who are you working for? All right? One thing I say all the time, there's a balance to everything. And as Christians, what we should try and strike is what? A balance. I was reading a book today, Divine Guidance. And in fact, the way the man wrote it, I didn't even know I read it before. It's when I saw my marking beside that statement, I knew that I read this thing before. That there is the geographical will of God. All right? He said there's the procedural will of God. What he was trying to say is that there's a place where God wants you to be. Then, I'm not sure he used the word procedural, but that's what he was saying. He was not saying that if you learn the procedures of God, you will find yourself in the geographical location where God wants you to be. That you don't have to beat your head on knowing where that is. that if you fulfill God's procedures, if I'm going to write something about it, all right, I will incorporate what he said and send our mailing group in a short while, because I'm introducing something. I just call them tips, just very short sermons, not the normal long one I write, just about one paragraph, very short, a few lines, all right? And I just send it around. So what he was saying is this. If you do what God says to do all the time, you will discover that you are in the place where God wants you to be. I'm making an issue here. If you believe in the gospel of prosperity, and listen to this, and you follow the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you will find out how God will produce that prosperity in your life. The error therein is when you alter the righteousness of God in trying to achieve it. Are you getting my point? Many years ago, I thought about it. That Paul said it like this, that those who want to be rich, all right, they pass themselves through many hurtful lusts. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I said, but the Bible makes it clear that Isaac became very rich because God blessed him. The Bible made it very clear that Abraham became very rich, Job, all of them, because God blessed them. And you see Paul and co. preaching to the Christians that my desire is that you prosper and be in good health. You see Paul and co. preaching, explain that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see Paul explain that God makes all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we super abound unto good works. I said, how do you balance it? And an answer came to my mind, and I believe on the Spirit of God. See, if you look at it, it's what people are looking for that's the difference. That in one man is looking for money. And Solomon said that the man with an evil eye runs after wealth, but does not understand that poverty will come upon him. One is looking for money, is running after it. But the one that follows God's righteousness, like I was saying, what happens is that he's not running after money. He's not running after wealth. He's not running after prosperity. Is running after the will of God, and prosperity is added to him. And listen to me, God will test you in life to see what rules we are willing to break in the course of trying to become rich. Once you break the rules, the righteousness of God, then the blessing, okay, is not from God. You are beginning to serve Satan. You are beginning to serve the spirits of this age. The other day, I was, Rokes Nara, I sat with his boss during the election, the one waiting for accreditation. So this is a very big man in this town, for those of you who know what I'm talking about. All right? A rich man by any standard. And I came to the place with the book, Business by the Book. All right? That's the name of the book, by Larry Bucket. Business by the Book. That is, when you say business by the book, that is business by the Word of God, the book being the Bible now. So we sat down, we're chatting. So I said, oh, you brought this book to read? He said, yes. So I said, because we knew it might take some time, do our own pulling booth was quite quick that day. That it came down that once he has to wait, he will just be reading the book. He now made a statement. He said, it is important I keep reading these things. Before, he said, because if you don't do that, in a short while, you won't realize that you have begun to serve mammon. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. This is a Christian man. He said, I have to read these things to keep myself in check, to keep myself on the path of righteousness, to keep myself doing the will of God. Because if I don't, I will slip into serving mammon and not know it. Do you get my point? What differentiates one person from another is not whether he has money or he doesn't. No. That is the matter of prosperity now. It is what am I doing so as to get it? Is the prosperity my goal? You know, later on when we finish this series, I already know the next two things we are going to discuss. You know, what marks Christianity is that thing, righteousness. Because one of the things you find out, because In business, as an example, if you're very keen on these things and your ears are sharp and you understand them, watch business reporting. Just sit down every day, watch CNN, watch channels, watch CNBC Africa. See them report business matters. You will discover something. Listen to this: it's pure mammon. Listen, you hear what I say? It is what? Pure mammon, mammon, mammon. Other reporting is mammon. Listen, the other day when they were talking about Lehman Brothers collapsed, when this financial crisis began in the U.S., my wife and I discussed, and she was just saying, Why did they do this? Because you hear that, wow, AIG lost $30-something billion in a few months. Lehman Brothers lost so much money. A company that existed for over 100 years went down. You hear Bear Stearns. This one, they had this problem. They had to be bought over by one other company. Bank of America is shaking. And, oh God, all kinds of stories. Now, why did they do this? I said, listen, they are not stupid people. They are very smart. They are the top men in that game. I said, you know their problem? If they did not do what they did, once it's a publicly traded company, they will have been fired. Why? Forget everybody sitting down and saying, these are people. You know, American justice system to me is not justice. It's vengeance. There's a difference. No, I'm sorry. I've observed it. American justice system is not justice. It's vengeance. That's when we are angry, we will find a way to put you in jail for life. The man's case went to Supreme Court, American Supreme Court. And they ruled that his crime was not, you couldn't kill him. What happened was that he raped a small girl repeatedly, the daughter of his girlfriend. Do you understand? Huh. And it was such a gruesome crime. So the jury, the prosecutors, the judge, the jury all agreed to give him the death penalty. So he was found guilty, and then they gave him the death penalty. Except that nobody died. He did not intend to murder anybody, and nobody was killed in the process. Therefore, as far as the justice is, there was no justification for the death penalty in their justice system. Maybe scriptures, it would have been okay. Under Jewish law, they will kill you 7 times over. I'm looking at an issue here. But everybody was angry. I mean, even to me, when I read the story, I was angry. I felt like killing him. Except that he didn't take any life. And the laws of the country would not allow you that death penalty, apart from the fact that you kill somebody. That's what I mean. Sometimes people are angry. It's vengeance. They're just angry. You know, we just want to punish you. What you did is so bad in our hearing. There's a reason why I'm saying this. When you look at the financial things that happened then, my wife and I started analyzing it. I said, this is what they are sending to jail. People say that send out the CEOs to jail. It's not right, except that they are scapegoats. You know what the scapegoats are? All right, you are going to jail on behalf of the rest of us. Every shareholder, every man who trades stocks, all right, should go to jail if you send those men to jail. Do you know why? Because they sat down and it's all about money. It's all about money. Stock market in Nigeria crashed recently. Look at it objectively. It was supposed to crash. It will crash. Men regulating it knew it will crash. They were just trying to get as much money before it will crash. It's all about money. What am I talking about? So you see those banks, those MDs knew what was wrong. They knew what would make the bank solid and what would make them solid. But if you sat down and said you wanted to be solid, you wouldn't declare profit. If you don't declare profit, share price goes down. If share price goes down, but you know, shareholders get angry. When they get angry, they sack the whole board and you go with it. So men, you know, they succumb to the pressure. That's why this is my gospel. If you're a Christian, you start a company, please don't take it public. That's my opinion. Somebody can disagree with me. You may have reasons and you may be correct, but this is my opinion. You see, anything God gives you, it's your responsibility to keep it. He gave them the garden. He said, guard it and what? Keep it. The laws don't allow you, except you want to break the laws, to keep that thing the way you will want. Once it is a public company, it is a public company. And if everybody gathers and says we don't like the man who started it, they will fire him. Do you get my point? Steve Jobs founded Apple with some other people. They fired him one day. A man he hired fired him. It was when Apple began to have problems that they brought him back, sold him one share. One. Like he was only, I don't know about now, but then he had only one share in Apple so he could come back as the CEO. He and one other person founded a company from the beginning. Yet one day, they looked at him and fired him. And I guess he took his spirit away with it. Then the company went down. Microsoft finished them. Now, but are you getting my point? He said, guard it and do what? And keep it. Whatever you do in life, make sure you have guard over it
and you're able to keep it. That's my own. Like I said, maybe some people have more revelation in the realm of economics. They can do their own differently. But this is what I think. Okay? I'm not an issue here. I'm talking about the spirit of the age. Talking about that. So you see, these people who go out there, they are driven by one thing. I'm talking about righteousness, now the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God principle. A Christian is not to be driven by gain. That is, there are times a Christian will look and know this is loss, but we have to do it. Like Jesus said at the time, he said, "Will I say, Father, deliver me from this hour?" He said, "But for this cause, I came to this hour." Americans are shouting, the economy, the job creation is slowing down again. Other stories. I laugh. I'm not a bigger an issue here. What they did is that because of the spirit of the age, you exported all the jobs. Then you are complaining that there are no jobs. I don't know what I'm going to explain. Because of the spirit of the age, that the company must declare profit. You exported all the jobs. Then you settle down and start complaining that there are no jobs. And listen, nobody in those societies, nobody is innocent. You know what I mean by nobody now? The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. Everybody, that is just a system. And this is the kingdom of God. That's what I'm getting to. This is the righteousness of God. There are times a Christian will know that this makes more money. This makes less money. But righteousness dictates that I do the one that makes less money. Because for me, it is not about money. It's about something else. And business, there are many motivations. There are many motivations. I gave the example of two people, which I believe those were the spirits. That was the spirit of God working in both people. One, Henry Ford. The second one, Mary Kay Ash. I've used their stories a lot of times. In both situations, each person said that the success of this company is just to prove a point. That this is the right way to do business. Are you getting my point? When Henry Ford started trying to make cars, they told him, big cars make more money. Because only the rich can afford cars. And you make cars for the rich. And then they will buy it and you will make money. And he said, no, I want to make cars for the middleman and for the poor. Everybody should be able to have cars. That's the reason why I'm making these cars. In fact, Henry Ford had a rule, all right? He never used to borrow money from banks. Because as far as he understood, that the bankers existed only to make money. And they should realize that money is a tool of business. It's not an end in itself. To him, money was just the same thing as buying a screwdriver. You can't buy a screwdriver so you can make more screwdrivers. You get what I'm explaining? So he had the rule, no borrowing of money in this company. He said, because when I borrow money from them, they want to tell me how to run my business. So the man never, one day, borrowed money once Ford Motor Company took off. He said, no. That if all I can make is one car, and that's how he started. I will make one, I will sell it. Make the next one, and sell it. The one that have enough profit, I will make two. And that's how he began. Now, I'm not even got an issue. His own, when the company did so well, he said, the success of this company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. He said, but it's my way of demonstrating that my principles of doing business, which were different from the rest of the people's, my principles are right and theirs, all right, are wrong. When he wrote the book, Miracles Happen, all right, she said, I first wrote this book many years ago, maybe like 20 years before that. He said, but after writing it, that's on the principles of marketing, how to treat your customers, how to treat your colleagues at work, and how the company should treat the workers. After working for many years and retiring from sales, she wrote that little book. But she said to herself, nobody is going to read it because it's written by nobody. Are you getting my point? That if nobody wrote this book, why should anybody spend money buying it? Therefore, I said, okay, what I will do is, first of all, let me put the principles into practice. Are you getting me? Then when I will have done that, they will see it work, then I can make them adopt my principles. So he said, okay, what do I sell? She was not into cosmetics. She was just looking for something that can be a blessing to people that she can sell. Then she remembered one of her friends who said her father had some formula, all right, that used to keep skin young. So she now went and approached the family, bought the formula from them, and began to market it so as to keep people's skin young. The company was never about skincare. It was about business principles. Skincare products were made so as to demonstrate the righteousness of those principles. What am I saying? What differentiates the Christian businessman, the Christian attitude towards prosperity, is what I'm talking about. What differentiates it from that of the world are the things we are discussing. That is, it is not for us about money. It is not about I have, somebody else doesn't have. It's not about now I can eat better. No, no. That's why we don't just take the whole thing and throw them away. When people who didn't have understanding, because like I told you before, one of the major things that I dislike in today's preaching of prosperity is the motivation that we preach to Christians on why they should give. This afternoon, I'll say it in the book I wrote, all right? I've not finished it, titled So Who We Pay For This. So I was looking at those things again, that this is the thing I am talking about. One of the reasons is because any thinking person will know that this is not the principle of godliness. When you say the only reason why you give is so that you can get, it is obviously not the principle of godliness. You don't need to be thoroughly educated in spiritual matters to know that is not the principle of godliness. It is the principle of selfishness. Are you getting my point? So for that reason, those who thought, who used their minds, who thought very well, especially good Christian people, they said, no, this cannot be Christianity. So they bundled the whole thing. So if you come with any gospel of prosperity, they throw it away. But I'm preaching to you today again that, listen, the gospel of prosperity is good. Did I hear the amen? The gospel of prosperity is correct. I want you to be persuaded that God indeed wants people to prosper. It is not God's perfect will that people should not. You see, what about Paul? There are times he went through affliction. Yes. And he stated it clearly that this is my being sacrificed on this altar of your faith. That I'm going through all of this so that I can help you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? For example, I mean, I have children. There are things my wife would love to do. There are things I would love to do. But which we have understood that because of the children, the time is not yet. A lot of times I travel, maybe I'm invited to go and preach somewhere. My wife says, can I come? I say, you got 4 kids. It's simple, she understands what I'm saying. You have to stay at home with them. She'll have loved to go on the trip with me. You know, okay, maybe stay like 3 days, you know, stuff like that, whatever. I said, not yet. Are you getting my point? That is, you are making sacrifices. There have been times that maybe wanted to go somewhere. I just touch one of the kids in the morning and the child is febrile. That's the plan for the day changes. Somebody must stay at home. Those are sacrifices you make for certain reasons. So when you discover, you know, I told you the day we went to Cross River and drove from Calabar all the way down to Obudu. So, you know, crossing the whole country, you know what I mean? When I saw the jungles, I respected the white man that came to evangelize. When they say, white man should pay reparation, I said, you should pay your own duty to them. By the time you finish capital, you find you are owing. They are not owing. He said, they came to plunder. Please, thank you for the plundering. May God bless you for plundering. And if you can come back for more plundering, you are welcome. When you stop plundering, we got into trouble. What am I saying? When I saw what men went through to spread the gospel, some of you, maybe you came from the north, and then you stayed only in Enugu. Just travel to go for one funeral in a village, somewhere in Anambra or Enugu or Imo State, where they never tower the roads. You know what Mary Slessor suffered. Now, people do those things, all right, as a sacrifice for the work of God that they are doing. That's what I'm telling you about the righteousness. In Christianity, you know, people have told me a lot of times, if you go abroad, you know, you make more money. I said, listen, there's a geographical will of God. I was telling you about it earlier. I exist for the will of God. I just don't go to place because there's money there. Because there's apparent prosperity there. I was talking to someone the other day, somebody said that, you know, it's about joy. I said, it's not about joy, it's about the will of God. You had better learn how to find joy in the will of God. And not find joy in Nepal, not the quench light. Are you getting my point? So I was saying that there's something about Christianity. It's the principles behind what we are talking about that must be different from that of the world. Like I was saying when I asked that question, that God said, the Paul was teaching, that those who want to be rich, who are running after money, The Bible says that they are piercing themselves through with many sorrows. And that the man with an evil eye is the one that runs after money. And does not understand that poverty will come upon him. Poverty. I saw that in the scriptures. I said, Lord, how do we now balance this with the fact that you bless those that you loved and that pleased you? He said, one, they went after the money. The other ones went after the will of God. And whatever it is that God gave to them was a blessing. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things shall be what? Added. Any wealth that comes to you, not as an addition, is a curse. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late. Whatever he gains in that process, he says, the bread of what? Sorrows. May God place you in a place, and that's what we're discussing, getting your mind ready for it, that God will put you in a place where you will prosper by his addition. The Bible says, so he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. You know, I was telling the story about Mary Kay Ash. I've told this story so many times. If you've heard me for 1 year, you must have heard the story at least twice. In one of the chapters in her book, she described how you can't outgive God. Go and read that book. Miracles Happen. Usually they don't sell it in bookshelves, so it may be difficult for you to find it, all right? Yeah, they just give it to their salespeople. Now, she described how, let me just make the long story short, how one day her son came and said, this is my friend, invented one method for prospecting for oil, and I think it's very good. The guy is very smart. Her son, so I think she put money in it. And she put money and forgot. And then one day, for those of you who know the story, you know I don't have time to go over it, but one day, the son called her and said, Mommy, why is it that everything you put your hands into turns to gold? And she said, what are you talking about? He said, remember that investment with my friend? He said, yes, I do. He said, they started yielding this month. Your share in the proceeds in the first month is over $100,000. This was after she just put herself into one pit, needing $100,000, about an hour before that. What am I saying? It became what? An addition. I've looked at this world. That is the things happening these days. They'll tell you about poverty here, poverty there. Listen, poverty in the world of today is more a spirit than ever before. I'll listen to what I'm saying. They said there's crisis now in parts of Northern Africa that is down to middle, all right? Chad and Co., you know, Somalia that are involved, all right? Parts of Sudan, and there's a famine, and they will show children that are starving. Except that a few weeks ago, I saw on TV that as of today, put together worldwide, one third of all the food produced in the world is thrown away. Did you hear what I said? That one third of all foods produced on the earth today is wasted. And we're not even talking about poor preservation. We mean a man will take an apple, bite it, look at it, and throw it away. And there's nothing wrong with it. Listen, let nobody tell you that God doesn't want people to prosper. Let me tell you something. God wants you to prosper. Listen to me. I will prove it to you in a moment just by telling you what's going on in the world. God wants you to prosper. Did you hear what I said? God wants you to prosper. Listen, walk with him. Don't make money, material things your aim in life. But one day you will look and you will wonder that what begat me all this wealth? You will be richer than your ability to conceive it ahead of time. You know why I'm saying so? It's just the character of God. I was telling you last time, the Bible says that he makes all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. You know, God does not manage. I'm going somewhere. Do you know that countries that God has blessed today? My friend in America said, Black, the number one reason I threw away milk is that I bought another one. I told you the time I went for a course in the U.S. And you don't know how quickly you learn the bad habits. The day I arrived in Lagos, my wife and I stayed. My wife came to meet me. We stayed in the hotel the first day before we now came, left Lagos. And the morning, I took sugar that she bought and tossed it into the dustbin. I stayed in the U.S. for only 6 weeks. I didn't know when I tossed the sugar into the dustbin because we didn't need it again. To an average Nigerian, you smoke? And my wife looked at me and said, what is that? I said, but we are checking out now. She went to the dustbin and put that sugar back. What's wrong with you? Oh, I said, sorry. He said, listen, my friend, you have come back home. You have come back home. This is not America. Why? Because that's the way Americans behave. That's just their life. I remember when I was living where I stayed, the last thing I did was to empty milk, Sprite, things I bought into the sink. That I'm going now, nobody's at home, so I have to lock the door. So bring the gallon of milk, ga-ga-ga-ga-ga, into the sink. Ma'am, the big bottle of Sprite I bought in there, into the sink. Apples that are not eating, grapes, add them to dustbin, and it's normal, it's no big deal, no big deal. Oh, half chicken that are not eating into the dustbin. Like, you know, it was nothing. And you know the point is, I did not think about it. It was when I got home that I wanted to continue the habit, and my wife woke me up and said, wake up, wake up, wake up. Look around, this is Nigeria. I said, sorry, ma. My friend said when he and his wife first got to the U.S., his wife gained 20 pounds in the first 2 months because she couldn't bear to throw food away. So when he wanted to throw food away, he said, no, leave it, I'll eat it. So those who the men said, no problem, eat it. After 2 months, she stood on the scale. And I said 20 pounds because I'm trying to be conservative. I think we're not at 30, but you know, I like to just be sure I don't exaggerate. And she said, okay, I hereby receive the gospel of throwing food away. And her weight went down. I said, what do you mean? Listen, it costs more to transport that food to somewhere else than to buy it. That's why they do that. I'm telling you how God can prosper a whole nation. A whole nation. A whole nation. So don't let it be like, you know, let me tell you something about prosperity. One day I thought about it. I want to tell you that God can prosper people. Do you know in the days of Samson? Now, first, I don't know about you, but you enter my house. The problem I have with the suits I have and the clothes I have is I don't know who to give them to. Most people don't wear my size. Those who wear my size, they don't want my used clothes. Do you get my point? In the days of Samson, when they wanted to bet his clothes, he said, okay, you will bring 30 garments. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You will bring... Samson had to kill people to get, to get their clothes. That's poverty. But this day and age, no. A man who thinks he's poor has many of them. And he just, his own problem is that this one is not Italian. This one is not Italian. This one is from Asia. When I have some money, I'll go and buy Italian suits. That's the issue right now. Because God has prospered the world in the area of raiment. Go and read the story, the time of Samson. To pay bride price, na cloth. Betting, na cloth. So you bring two agbadas if you win this bet. Look, listen. Part of our problem, like I said before, as well as Africans, is our mentality was capped because of a curse that was placed upon Ham and his descendants. So that when you see a person, once he buys one car, buys two, and builds a house, he actually feels superior to a man who doesn't have. It's a poverty mentality. It's a mentality of poverty. Imagine that rich men gather and one ate 3 times a day and is feeling superior to the one who ate only once a day. Can you imagine? That means a crazy thing. So if any man is still feeling superior to another because he has more cars than he has, you should know that one is crazy. You should know he's crazy. He has never been blessed. He has never seen wealth. Look, some of the gospels we preach, they are born out of the heritage of poverty. You know, I've been saying it. One of our friends, one day we're talking, one person I know in this town, said he traveled abroad. So they asked, what job do you do? Say he's a hotelier. So they thought that he owned a chain of hotels. How many you get? Say, okay, two. How many rooms? You want to get 20 rooms. The other one has 15 rooms. My friend, get away from there. You are talking as if your name is Sheraton or what do you call them, you know, Hilton, you know, those things. Like, so I thought, the white man actually, when he heard that he's a hotelier, he thought that, oh, his mind went to intercontinental chain of hotels, talking about the, you know, the Hilton, Sheraton, but the things I'm thinking about. And I said, the guy built two houses for Enugu, called them hotels. He was so angry. I'm not looking at an issue here. See, that's because we are not used to what God calls abundance. That's what I'm saying. We're not used to it. Like I say all the time, the black man didn't know how to count in millions. Who will he count in millions? Yam? As long as you are using a hoe to make those mounds one by one in a whole lifetime, you and your children, and with all, I know you married four wives, though, you and your children can never harvest a million yams. Tubers, no, you can't. So a man who makes 200 heaps in a day, they have a name for it in Yoruba, they say Akogba. That is a man who made 200 heaps. Meanwhile, Algi Lotono, we do a machine like this, choom, that thing we drive for 5 minutes and make 2,000 heaps. That's prosperity. He could harvest a million tubers in one season. Because he will sit on a tractor, turn the key, and pull the plow behind and drag it. And be making tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. In fact, just be making the heaps for as much. If you want the whole earth converted to heaps, he will do that. And he wouldn't get arthritis at the age of 45. They say, black man used to live very long. It's a lie. They looked very old. They didn't live long, nothing. In case you did not know, your grandfather used to marry at the age of 18. Think it's now that you have to build her before you marry. Those days, when the papa look and they don't find a wife, what is his thing? So you see, the boy is 19, his wife is 14 and a half. By the time he makes, he's from the age of 16. Alright? By the time he's 50, you think he's a grandfather, he too sits with a red cap in the village, and my brothers. He's been having children for so long and making his for so long. You think he's old? Why didn't the white man came and just took everything away from them in one day? I'm talking about God's concept of abundance. A lot of people preach prosperity. Say, if a man preaches prosperity, and look at my suit. I'm wearing an Armani. Once he says no, it's coming from a heritage of what? Poverty. If you can brag on the clothes you are wearing, you live in the days of Samson. There's a Samson. Look, sometimes you know the other day they said Nigeria was owing money. Let me tell you what they call abundance, so that you will get angry. They say Nigeria is a rich country. Amen. We are rich, amen. Amen. But not that oil. Don't look at that oil. That's not what we're talking about. When I say Nigeria is rich, you know what I talk about? Is you. You I'm seeing is the reason why Nigeria is rich. Because I know if God puts grace in your hands, there's nothing you can't produce. That's what I mean by Nigeria is rich. One day, okay, that time we took a trip from Calabar to Obodo. One way coming, I took a taxi from, that took off from Obodo to, I think it was Boko. Then from there, I took another one to Enugu. So on the way, that was my first time coming that way. Something happened and I said, God, this country is rich. Now, I'm trying to explain what I mean by Nigeria is rich. I saw a young boy carrying hot roasted yam in the traffic. I quickly bought one from him and I saw a lot of them. I said, yay, this country is rich. The sea industry, that this young boy is there, he's not begging, he's not stealing, he's farming and, you know, roasting the yam and selling. I said, this man is industrious. If God blesses him, he can achieve a lot. That's where I'm going. So when I say we are rich, that's what I mean. When we have finished rolling back all these curses that's holding us back, you'll be amazed at what we can produce. We are rich. Nigeria alone can boast of 50 billionaires counting today's dollars. We are rich. God will make all grace abound towards us so that we will produce so much that counting millionaires won't be a big deal for us that time. We are rich. Now that we have settled that, let me get back to where I used to get angry when some people who don't have this perspective say Nigeria is rich. Once they asked President Obasanjo then about this rich matter, he reminded Nigerians they should stop thinking that they have money. That the national budget of Nigeria at that time and that of the New York State Fire Department were the same. I don't know whether you heard me. The fire department, I'm not sure of New York State, I think it's New York City. Their fire department was the same as the whole of our country. One particular aircraft carrier, being commanded, okay, with all the things that go around with it, had the same budget as Nigeria. When they say Nigeria is owing money, Nigeria is owing money, all we owed was 30-something billion dollars, true or false? Greece, the second round of IMF money last week was 168 billion to bail out Greece. I was angry when I saw that Greece zone. All the years we were shouting about debt. Nigeria is owing money. 30-something billion. Which between Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, if they can do charity. The amount of money Warren Buffett gave in one day to Bill Gates Foundation was more than that. Hey, so wipe your brain away from that dirty oil in Niger Delta that's making you feel like you are rich. You ain't rich at all, if that's what you're thinking about. The wealth I'm talking about is you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, because we have never seen money. Say Nigerians, they said they are lending Southern Sudan money. I was upset. I was upset. Southern Sudan, they're collecting independence today. They said, is the IMF or World Bank or somebody or European Union lending them $78 million? Our senators have $78 million. I was very angry. A whole nation. You are talking about, you're not ashamed of yourself. You're lending the whole country $78 million. If I come to Nigeria, the senators just, the boys just say, hey, boys, bring 2 million. Bring 2 million. Gather money. They dash them. I feel very bad. This is real poverty. You're lending the whole nation $78 million and you are talking. It's not your fault, too. That's how poor they are. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So let's leave this poverty of the African man. Let's think about how the world has. You know, the state California is the fifth largest economy in the world. You take that state alone, the whole United States will be one. Maybe followed by, I think China is number two or number three. Japan, Germany. By the time, the next one on the line, California. And it's one state. I want to open your mind so that you stop thinking that no, Enugu is a rich state, we should be able to tie all the roads. Don't forget all of that. Thank God we are tying the roads there. But don't, that is, get your mind into the realm of divine abundance. That's what I'm talking about. I told all these stories to let you know that if God is doing something like that on the earth already, let nobody deceive you that God doesn't want his children to prosper abundantly. Let me tell you what they call prosperity. It's not chopping food. As of today, all I do is cut what I'm eating. So food is not an issue. Do you get what I'm saying? So that's not what I mean by prosperity. Food is not what we are talking about. God even, look, go and read it. Jesus expected that his disciples shouldn't focus on what shall we eat. That is, don't make it a prayer point. What do I call prosperity? There's no reason on earth why any Nigerian should travel anywhere in the world for any medical procedure. God will bless you so much. Is it those hospitals they run to in Europe and America? You will build one in Enugu, one in Abuja, one in Lagos, and one in Port Harcourt. I didn't hear the amen. That's what I call prosperity. Anytime I see Nigerians, is there any time I see those innocent bosses? Are they happy? You can criticize the jeep the way you. I don't care. Once I see innocence on those buses, I'm happy. Yes. Because prosperity is not about ability to chop, it's ability to produce. He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to produce power. That literal Greek and literal Hebrew. Power to get power. So what God gives is what? The power to produce something that puts you in control. Did you hear what I said? God doesn't give his children money. He gives them power to produce. That's what we're calling prosperity. Power to produce so as to be in... Look, I tell you all the time. Listen. As in Nigeria of today, there are people who are not politicians. There are politicians called before they make policies. Are you getting what I'm saying? And listen. You know, I was saying something that the problem is that people sometimes is mentality. They say, what's a man looking for? Once you have enough money for yourself, your wife, your children, you can send your children to school and they can go to a good school, buy one car, one for school run, one for your wife. What more are you looking for in life? Once you hear that, know that's a man who has joined the cult of poverty. No matter how humble he seems, he has a poverty mentality. Because if you have enough money, enough resources to take care of yourself, your children, your wife, build one house in the village, one in the city, and what more are you looking for? You came to this life just to build a few houses. It would have been better if you were just aborted. Like I say all the time, if everybody thought like you, people like me will have suffered though when we came to Enugu. Because they will be leaving the house they built in Enugu. And they will have none to rent to people like me. Thank God my landlord doesn't think like that. Thank God he has the mindset that it should be fruitful and multiply and fill the land. If it's not the whole earth. For that reason, I had a vacant house to park into. And all I gave him is a bit of money. And like I say all the time, jokingly, but truthfully also, that he said, you will live in houses you did not build. That's a fulfillment, round one. Yeah, there are two rounds of fulfillment. There's one, when God was sent to the children of Israel, they would take houses from people that used to own them. Me, I'm not that wicked. I'm still living in a house that I did not build. And I was soon packed to another one that I didn't build. Maybe I just paid small money, but I wasn't the one that sweated over it. Now, are you getting my point? So, listen, let's quickly get that out of our minds. It is not humility at all, that kind of talk. If people talk like that, that make preachers beg. The book I'm writing, so who will pay for this? When you read the book, initially you think I'm angry with preachers who beg for money and twist the word of God for money. No! The book wasn't about it. Do I explain some things that, look, some things are not in order. The book was more about the Christians that make it necessary for preachers to beg. Like an Egan said once, said, in those days they appeared like the Christians, what they had, the prayer they had for their pastors was, God, keep our pastor humble, we will keep him poor. You keep him humble, we will do the job of making sure that poverty is his portion. What am I saying? A lot of times you see ministries. Anyway, I thank God for those of you that God is blessing and we still bless in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why am I saying so? Before I met people, before I preached to anybody, I swore by Almighty God with his power that any ministry I run would never beg for money. Some people thought that it meant that I would be so rich, I would be using my money to pay. If they didn't realize that, I prayed the second prayer that God, don't bless me like that so that I'll be using my money to do ministry. That otherwise, how will I know I was called? How will I know I was called? If I have to swear, I've seen preachers say that, no, they will first go work, save up money and start ministry. You were not sent by God. No, I refuse to do that. I prayed those prayers side by side. What am I saying? But the manifestation of the fact that I never beg, you know the manifestation? That God blesses people so much that they super abound unto all good works. And because of their good works, I don't have to beg. In case you do not know, first Saturday, Tuesday in August, we are back on Joy FM in Otukwo. Very soon we'll settle the deal on the next radio station. We are going on two radio stations side by side at the same time and continue the one we are doing on TV. And we are not stopping. Why? Because there are people who are not living for just themselves. They will build one house, acquire a few property. What more are they looking for? They know. There are people who say, no, the work of God must be done. The preaching of the gospel. The only those who don't think that poverty talk, that they thought, they are the only ones that can allow the work of God to ride without the preacher's begging. As the preacher has come on TV, praise God, praise God. This handkerchief I spent anointed for a gift of $200, I will send it to you. I'll shake my head. The people of God, why do you allow this to happen? Say, when I was going out, I saw this anointed flash drive. And this ministry is going to send anybody who sends us $50 and above this week, will send it this flash drive. I start feeling very bad. It's not the preacher. It's all of us. They have their guilt. We have our guilt. When we are all running, you know, he said, everybody has run to his own house. And they have left the house of God to break down. They've left it unrepaired. Why? Because they said, after all, what are we looking for in this life? You all build a house, buy a car, born 3.5 children. Sorry, is it 4 children? The way that Christians talk, they say, He said, what are you doing with many children? You don't know if things are expensive. Listen, if you want to have one child, have, amen? If you want to have two, have, amen? But please, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your Lord and mine, it must never be because things are difficult. How can you be prophesying evil upon children you're about to have? If life is difficult for 4 children, it will be difficult for 2. Children are like eggs. You can boil 5 at the go, you can boil 1, the same period. When we're young, they used to crack a joke. They say, how long does it take to boil? They say, you boil 1 egg in 5 minutes. How long would it take to boil 5? And we thought we're wizards in mathematics. We could do 5 multiplied by 5 is equal to 25. 25! And they will say, my friend, it is 5 minutes. Just put all of them into the same kettle. Okay, wisdom of the aged. Thank you. Anytime somebody gives birth to a child and I have to pray for the child, there's one prayer I never forget to add. I said, children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a blessing. And the blessing of God, they make rich. And they don't add any sorrow. I said, Lord, increase prosperity in this home because this child has come in the name of Jesus Christ. And listen to me, if you say amen when I pray that prayer around you, you will never be poor in life in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will nurse and take good care of your children. Listen, and the children of other people added to it in the name of Jesus Christ. A time will come when they don't know what to do with you, they come and dash you. They say, what happened to this child? The parents. The mother died at birth. The father is very poor. He wants to give it up for adoption. Say, no. Why bother? You know, Mr. So-and-so. That one. Go to his house. His wife will take. Just knock on your door. Go. And they open the door. Wait. They say, you are so blessed that this is where children find refuge. That will be your story in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't worry about money. By that time, money won't be an issue. Oprah Winfrey went to South Africa and built a school. And put people that she's not related to in it. Why do Christians think like Satan? Christians will be thinking like, Oprah Winfrey is building school all over the world. Christians are thinking satanic thoughts. And I said, I want to have only 2 children because country hard. As you have said in my ears, let me stop it there. Don't complete it. It's a risky prophecy. Please don't say such things in the ears of God. Don't. Talk like my wife. My wife goes, when my wife and I want to talk, I say, baby, you go drop one more, or another two. So the argument is that who will change the nappy?
Then the other day when I'm around bomb picking, I look at my wife, I say, I think you're a senior madam now. Leave this child bearing thing. I said, how can you be struggling labor room with Amara and Emma? And then they say, okay. They say, Mrs. Bank is inside. You mean, we don't go into labor yet. Mama won't born. I told my wife, I agree with you now. No, those are better reasons. Say, no, let's make space for these young wives who are just getting belly, who are beginning to born children one after the other, so we can help them. You know, last time when I delivered, when her husband came, that's my brother, they were in my house for some time. So my wife too, we tie her up in the evening, do like Omugo woman, say, hey, where's baby? Go and carry big kid. I said, okay. Now I understand why enough if you continue this thing. People have taken the battle. That's better. Or to, like she would tell once in a while, no. When am I going to travel with my husband? Okay, I can understand all of that. But to tell me that as a Christian, you open your mouth and say you don't want many children because of poverty. May God seal your mouth like that of Zachariah, the father of John, so you won't spoil your own destiny. I say amen now.
Amen.
Are you afraid? No, don't worry. Your destiny will manifest. So that's why I want to close it. So once you have repented, your mouth will open. Ah. Listen, you will give out scholarships. I say you will give out scholarships.
Amen.
That the time will come when we want to do jump. Say, money not complete. How will we go to university? Say, don't worry, just pass. Pass first. Then you go and file your pass letter in that man's house. We heard he swore before God that there's nobody that comes near his house who wants to go to school that will not be able to go. And please, just get a very high GPA. He will send it to the best schools in Nigeria and abroad. We are not related. It does not matter. He has been blessed so that he is now a blessing. Are you getting my point? You must be convinced of it. You must be. Like I said at the beginning, I want to close. I said at the beginning, these words are not describing where you are right now. They are describing where God is taking you to. Do you get my point? Listen to me. If you believe it, you will experience it.
Amen.
He said, blessed is she that has believed, for there shall be a performance of those things spoken by the angel. Listen, I have spoken the word of God to you. If you believe it, I said, there will be a performance in your life.
Amen.
You will never be average.
Amen.
Listen to me. You will never be average.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it one more time. You will never be average.
Amen.
Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's God's plan. That's what he wants. The times of lack, the times of managing, were the times of training. God had to purify your spirit. Yeah? He had to purify your spirit. There are people that God said, until you dance and rejoice over that money I'm giving you, 1 naira extra like this, you know, go get. So your next salary, you lay it down in front. God of miracles, now my pap. You will dance around. Now you now take it, you share it, see to the sower, and bread for food. At this age, you go home. You know they carry anything, go house. It must stop. He said, but I don't have it. It doesn't like I don't have yet. You have. Is that your name?
Amen.
It may not be much. It is acceptable according to what a man has. To let you know how Christians behave. I went to Wuri to go and preach. A man came to me for counseling. So I should tell him what to do now. Otherwise, something bad is going to happen. So I said, what is the problem? He said, my father is not behaving like a father at all. What did he do? He will sell land, family land. He won't share the money to reach him. I looked at the guy. Oh, God save the guy, say him be adult. And I not get koboko for them. And I was not permitted to whip anybody. I was a preacher. So I calmed down nicely. I looked the guy, how old are you? I said, he's like 30. Your father sold land, didn't share money to you. Is the land your own? He was looking at me. I said, do you want to be blessed in life? He said, yes. What do you do? He said, he's a farmer. What do you farm? He said, I farm poultry. You're a poultry farmer. Okay, very good. You have birds? Yes. They lay eggs? He said, yes. When last did you carry eggs to go and give your father? The guy, they look me. You make some money? Yes. I said, let me tell you how men behave. I said, if your father sells land and flushes the money down the toilet, it's none of your business. I told him like that. If your father wants to flush his money down the toilet, it does not concern you. I said, you are 30 or 30-something. Haba. Every weekend, half a crate of eggs, go home and drop it for your father. And I don't mean the Pentecostal gift to bribe it. Drop it for your father. I said to him, one drum of emotion is not expensive, I found out. One day, go home, tell your father to excuse you, bring a painter, buy a few drums, and repaint his house for him. He was looking at me. I said, if you want to prosper in life, better leave here and go and do what I have told you. Let me add things I did not say to him. If he continues in that guru, he will cross road one day, a car will kill him. He will have meningitis. Honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with you. That you may live long in this land of promise I've given you. Then listen, listen. He said, if his family, father, where is my honor? You can't go home empty-handed all the time and you want to prosper. Wait. After the Christians are givers, they are not givers because they have plenty. Though they will have plenty. They are givers by nature. Let me stop my message. My time has finished. I don't want to speak more than this. But let me end it again. You have been blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Because I preach in Africa, I have to keep saying these things. There are no witches that can sit on your prosperity. Any witch that mistakenly sits on it, it will prosper with you. Except that the prosperity of a fool may go destroy her. Nobody can sit on your prosperity. Nobody can sit on your prosperity. Please, I beg you, forget all my enemies that won't want me to prosper. Don't worry about them. When the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be compulsorily at peace with him. Don't worry about that. For everywhere you applied for a job they didn't give you, smile. And say, Peleo, oh, what a pity. They say, what's a pity? You lost. I'm carrying my blessing to somewhere else. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And he said to them, anywhere you go, say to them, peace be upon this home. Anywhere you walk, get to the office and say, peace be upon this office. You carry peace. So if somebody doesn't allow you in, who lost? Yeah, it's the person that lost. It's just because, you know, I'm not a, you know, career academic. That way, I would do shakara. I would just go my din. I'm resigning. I know anywhere I go. Yeah, promote me now, otherwise I'm going to resign. But there's nowhere I go, the people will not be blessed. But there's no point making that point anyway. You know, we know it already. What am I saying? You will prosper in life.
Amen.
Believe it, God indeed has designed that you will be above and not beneath. You will not manage. Your giving will not be out of struggle for long.
Amen.
No, a time will come that you will give without even knowing you are giving.
Amen.
Because you will have so prospered, you will super abound unto every good work. That is the saying of God to you. If you believe it, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.